Welcome to the Learning Resources Network's Member Success Stories LearnCast. My name is Greg Marcello, and I am a Learn co-founder and senior vice president and today's moderator. Learn's Member Success Story LearnCasts are 10 to 20 minutes long and are interviews with Learn member programs that have a success story to tell. Today, I am joined by Laura Weatherall, the Recreation Bureau Chief for Howard County Department of Recreation and Parks in Maryland. She will be updating us on Howard County Department of Recreation and Parks' very successful summer camps. Welcome, Laura.
Well, hello. I'm very happy to be on the podcast today. It wasn't until last Friday that our camps actually stopped. In Maryland, the governor said that all the schools didn't start until after Labor Day. So as we talk about summer camps, that changed greatly for us the past 2 years, where we had to add on 2 to 3 extra weeks of camp.
Wow.
But, very, very happy to be here. And yes.
You'll definitely have up-to-date information. There's no question.
Yes, it's hot off the press.
Well, before we get into the summer camps, why don't you just give everyone sort of a quick overview of Howard County Department of Recreation and Parks?
Yes, Howard County and most places in Maryland, we do have some incorporated cities, but are county-driven. So Howard County has about 372,000 people. It's a very, very rural area, and I can hear cows if I want to, and there's a lot of farms, but it's also a very metropolitan and suburbs of Baltimore and Washington. This is actually our 50th year of our Department of Recreation and Parks, and we're very proud of our summer camps. I think people used to think a long time ago that what do you do when it's not in summer? That's all we did was camp. So it's been interesting to have camp on overload in the summer and still, like, everything ended on Friday. And this week we started up all of our child care on Tuesday.
Wow. Well, I mean, I've had a chance to visit with your program a couple of times, and there's no question that there's lots of activities going on. But what people want to hear about are your summer camps. So why don't you tell us a little bit about why you think the summer camps are so popular?
Well, one of the things that we're really proud of, which is a signature of ours, is our recreation inclusion, Greg. We provide accommodations above what the ADA requires in the form of a companion. And so any child, regardless of how severe their disabilities are, we will provide a companion, sometimes one or two or even 3-to-1, to enter into any of our camps that we offer and provide direct assistance to them. This has opened up the door for so many people. And this has been around for 30 years here. So we're proud of our recreation inclusion. We also feel our summer camps are so popular because we definitely follow the trends. And Learn helps us with that in keeping up with the camp trends. But if there's a new camp out there and we're not offering it, I usually think something's wrong with us. So we try to be in the cutting edge of offering exactly what everybody's looking for and finding people to do that. We have a good reputation by the fees that we offer. We offer programs in the range of what the market will bear for this area. But it's also very popular because we have a very strong scholarship or financial aid that we provide. We provide over, I think the latest count was $700,000 a year alone in scholarships. And in the summer, I believe I was just looking at some statistics. I think this summer alone was over 400,000 alone just in summer camp scholarships. They're also popular because we keep adding more options for that working parent. It used to be we'd offer a lot of 9-to-3. We still do offer 9-to-3 and 9-to-12. But there's a lot of options for going to a camp in the morning, having lunch, and staying for another camp in the afternoon. People are looking for childcare. Maybe not every week, but they're definitely looking for childcare. So the longer camps continue to be successful. But again, some people are only looking for a morning or an afternoon. So we provide for all the different needs that our people are looking for.
That's great. I mean, it really sounds like you guys do a really good job of, one, you know, listening to what it is that people need in order to make the summer work for them. And then certainly on top of that, it sounds like your staff is really creative. And so what are some of the new camps that you did this year?
Oh, gosh. We still, still at the top of the list, we keep adding more and more different types of the Lego and the STEM camps. They continue to grow. I think that'll just be going for a while. We are finding trends in people kind of going back to the basics of a true nature camp, a true adventure camp, being outside, fishing, canoeing, kayaking, actually sleeping in a tent, biking. Those things are rising more than they used to. We had some junior ranger camps that we offered this summer that were very successful, looking at like survival skills with archaeology and time traveling kids with primitive skills and Civil War detectives. And this particular county is very well educated, parents and guardians and care givers. So they're looking for sophisticated camps. We provide the most sophisticated down to just getting swimming lessons. So I would think that's probably any of the camps, the sports camps still continue to do well, the music and drama. I think the important thing of the summer camps that go is we always make sure that we cover all the 10 basic program areas. We don't focus just sports or music or drama. We, we cover all the different areas, which tend to draw in whatever interest somebody has.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds to me like it's quite a mix, but that's terrific. So how do you get the word out? How do you market your summer camps? What's working for you from that perspective?
Well, we have a very strong marketing plan. If anybody wants to see that, we're always able to share that. But our marketing plan for summer camp starts now for next year. All of our camps, we usually start getting ready by October and November because we start putting it out to the public in January and February. So when you're marketing, we have to market far in advance, primarily because that's what our competition is doing. So we want to be first out and out early to make sure everybody's seeing what we have to offer with all the private and nonprofit camps that are out there. Social media has been extensive. We find that we do have a lot of staff who, I don't want to say troll, but keep track of all the schools out and camp groups that are on social media and Facebook. To see what parents are looking for. There's always a lot of questions that come on those social media channels. So our marketing staff, as well as our general staff, will often comment on there. But just to read what people are looking for, it's every day people are saying, where's a good place in this area for me to get a dance camp or a fencing camp? So following social media as much as publishing in social media is very important. Now, again, that guide, that summer guide, is our most important piece, and we follow Learn's viewpoint of not giving up that published guide. In fact, we're adding more to that guide in the part of providing, first we can offer all the camps, but we also provide a week-to-week overview of what's happening in our camps. Some parents just are looking for a particular type of camp, but a lot of parents are looking for a camp maybe on the first week, the third week, the fifth week, and then they're putting grandma in there and maybe an older sibling's taking care of the child another week. So having that camp shared both ways, specifically by weeks, has been tremendously successful.
Wow. Terrific. That sounds great. Sounds like a lot of work too, but you guys, I know from my experience with you, quite a crew does really good work. So congratulations on that.
And you know what else, Greg, too, going back to basics, is getting your staff out there in basic outreach, you know, sitting at the fairs, sitting at the malls, getting the face-to-face contact with the PTAs and the youth groups, and getting the face out there with a table and sharing what we do at special events. That's an area of growth that we've really followed in the last 2 years, which have been very successful because people can get their one-on-one questions answered.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, I'm hearing out there more and more about, you know, sort of the FaceTime piece is becoming critical, seeing people, talking to them, because people have more and more questions these days than they probably did in the past.
Right.
So you got a lot of camps going on and satisfaction is critical. And you talked a little bit about some of the things that make your camps popular. What are some of the things that you do or your team does to ensure that the quality of the camps are going to be the highest quality they can be?
Well, first of all, we need to make sure that we are meeting our cost recovery goals. So if we're going to be successful, we need to be successful fiscally as well as customer service wise and program wise. So all of our camps access a budget worksheet focusing on a cost recovery of anywhere from meeting cost recovery by 100%, then up to 40 and 60%, depending on what kind of program is offered in the specialty. We do have to focus on our minimums. If a program does not meet that minimum, we traditionally are not going to run that program or camp unless there's something pretty close to that that's way over that can compensate for the fact that that program may lose a little bit of money. We also hire and train our staff very well. We have very good manuals in place to make sure everybody understands the policies and procedures. And we want to have, we have a lot of supervisors who can provide that ongoing feedback throughout the summer as well as when they hire, so people know what they're getting involved with and the commitment that they need to make to us. But if we're looking for ensuring quality, we have a checklist that we use for all of our camps that we have to have at least one back on every type of camp during the summer, which has an overview of our self-regulations that we follow. And the supervisors go out and complete those. And it gives us a good overview of what has worked and not worked at a program and areas we need to work on for next year. So that's somewhat how we handle, I guess, that particular, getting the satisfaction of that. Now we offer, I think this summer was 1,810 camps, I think. But we had over 20,760 campers. So that's a lot of people to keep happy. So we keep very much a track of any complaints and follow up with them. And something happened during the day, our directors, as well as our full-time staff, call parents and or sometimes even campers back to make sure everything's resolved. We definitely, and we've also learned that from you, Greg, is that sunset rule. The quicker you take care of something, especially before the end of the day, may determine whether somebody's going to come back the next day. So we're all about getting things handled quickly and with no surprises.
Wow. So it can't be perfect. What are some of the challenges? What are some of the things that make it hard to be successful?
Well, what I noticed this summer, a little bit more than I've had in the past, is staff talking about burnout, maybe keeping and maintaining that level of excitement, enthusiasm throughout an entire summer. I think a lot of that has to do with the heat. Maryland traditionally would have cooler days and hot days, and we've had just a lot of hot. And that can, if when staff aren't used to that, and we don't want to keep the kids inside all day in air conditioning, but sometimes we've been forced to do that for some of the indoor camps. But we do like the fresh air, but that that staff burnout can happen, especially if this may be somebody's first job and they're working 8 to 10 weeks. Monday through Friday and getting all their hours in and getting paid, but still it isn't easy. You just don't walk in and say you're going to be a camp counselor or leader or director. It's a difficult job, and folks will find that out. It's very rewarding. It's great for skills later in life or any time, but so staff burnout is one challenge. We ran into more comments than I was used to. I just did an analysis of challenges of all the staff, and another one was cleanliness at facilities, and that was unusual to hear it. And this was primarily by using school facilities in this case, but we permit a lot of our facilities, and then the other programs are in our parks and in our own recreation and parks facilities. But a lot of our camps are in schools, so we have to permit all of those through the schools. So we're just a user group coming in. So we don't often have the authority we have when it's our own site, if you understand what I mean by that.
Yes.
And then the customer service isn't always the same when you're dealing with other agencies as it is when your own agency is there. We have a lot of moving around at the last minute due to construction. Things like you started a camp somewhere on Monday and you had to move the whole camp to another whole location for Tuesday through Thursday. That doesn't tend to go over well for anyone. And then we did notice more with our contractor camps than our paid staff camps that we run. See, the contractors, since they are a contractor, they're considered an expert, so we can't force them to go to training. In their contract, we do write that they need to follow our policies and procedures, but the contractors do not need to attend our training. We provide one if they want to come, but the little things go by the wayside. Like when I went in to visit camps this summer, the contractor camps didn't always have a name badge on. The staff weren't always designated of who was in charge. And sometimes they didn't have the thorough knowledge they needed for sign-in procedures and or bathrooming. These are all written out in detail for them, but I didn't feel 100% everybody took the time to read them. So that's a difficult one to deal with, Greg, because our Office of Law, I mean, when you're dealing with a contractor, they're supposed to be an excellent, so technically we can't pay them to be trained because they're supposed to be the expert.
So we're sort of near the end. I'm just wondering, maybe if you could sort of wrap it up by telling us, I don't know, three things that you consider sort of the most important best practices and why your summer camps are successful.
Well, I definitely feel that camp safety and risk management is a priority for us. We do a lot of our self-regulations that we follow are safety-based, having to do with camp staff ratios. We usually don't go over a 15-to-1 ratio. Often with a lot of our camps, they could even be 10-to-1. And even with our little ones, I went out to visit a 2-year-old camp, and there must have only been 10 kids in there, maybe with 7 staff, but I think we definitely needed that. But keeping that camp safety first and foremost, from children eloping, children possibly getting lost, food allergies, dealing with medicine, that piece is first and foremost for us. Also, I mentioned recreation inclusion, so I won't repeat that, but making sure that our staff are well-trained, as well as our volunteers. We have a whole junior volunteer program, and we send them through almost like a recreation and parks university for 4 days before they even go out into a camp. And that's been very successful, but successful camp trainings, so people are prepared for when they start, they put their first foot into that camp that day, and they know exactly what to do and what's coming. And then pretty much making sure we evaluate and keep up with the trends and make sure we analyze all of our summative evaluations and make sure that all the customers are happy. Because if they're not happy, they're going to tell a lot of people they weren't happy. And We want everybody to be happy when they're there, when they leave, and then they'll come back.
Well, it certainly sounds to me like there's a lot of happy people. So, well, thank you, Laura, for sharing your great Learn Member success story, and keep up the terrific work and get yourself some rest after such a big summer.
But also, thank you.
Yeah, but also thanks to our Learn Member Success Story webcast listeners. Remember to contact info@learn.org for information that works and answers to your toughest questions. Have a great day. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.